foundation. Ye saints of the Lord, He is made for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled.
Welcome to the Covenant and the Cross, a survey of the Old and New Testaments. The Bible commands us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our goal is to help you understand the Bible better so that you can apply it to your life. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using, The Promise and the Blessing, by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at covenantandcrosspodcast.com. Now here's your host, Daniel White III, the President of Gospel Light Society and Torch Ministries International.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, this is all designed to encourage you to continue in the faith. Welcome to the Covenant and the Cross podcast. This is episode number 117. I am your host, Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. This podcast, my beloved, is designed to help you understand the Word of God better. This is basically an Old Testament and New Testament survey. The Old Testament is the story, the true story, the historical account of the covenant which God made with His chosen people, Israel. And the New Covenant is the story of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, which signifies the fulfillment of the Old Testament with Israel and the formation of a new covenant And the New Testament is the story of the cross, which signifies the fulfillment of the Old Covenant with Israel and the formation of a new covenant with redeemed people from many nations. We always, of course, like to start out with the Word of God, the reading of it, as we should. And today's passage of Scripture is from Joshua chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, which reads, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water." Now, beloved, regarding this passage, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown wrote in their fine commentary, "There was one transgressor against the ban on Jericho, and his transgression brought the guilt and disgrace of sin upon the whole nation. His genealogy is given probably to show that from a parentage so infamous, the descendants would not be carefully trained in the fear of God. After the sacking of Jericho, the next step was to penetrate into the hills above. Accordingly, spies went up the mountain pass to view the country. The precise site of Ai, or Hai, is indicated with sufficient clearness and has been recently discovered in an isolated tale called by the natives Tel El Haja, the Mount of Stones, at 2 miles or 35 minutes distance east-southeast from Bethel, Beth Haven, or House of Vanity, a name afterwards given derisively on account of its idolatries, to Bethel, House of God, but here referred to another place, about 6 miles east of Bethel and 3 north of Ai, as the population of Ai amounted to 12,000. It was a considerable town, though in the hasty and distant spying, it probably appeared small in comparison to Jericho. And this may have been the reason for their proposing so small a detachment to capture it, an unexpected resistance, and the loss of 36 of their number diffused a panic which ended in a rout. They were chased unto the breakings or fissures at the opening of the passes. It is evident that the troops engaged were a tumultuary, undisciplined band, no better skilled in military affairs than the Bedouin Arabs, who became disheartened and flee on the loss of 10 or 15 men. But the consternation of the Israelites arose from another cause, the evident displeasure of God, who withheld that aid on which they had confidently reckoned. Ladies and gentlemen, today's quote about the Bible is from Dr. R. E. Lee. He said, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength. Our topic for today is titled The Best of Times, The Worst of Times, Part 10, from the book The Promise and the Blessing by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. After the Civil War of Abimelech's day, the text tells of 6 minor judges, leaders who generally receive just a note in passing, as was the case with Shamgar. We have little information about Tola and Jair. We are told more regarding Jephthah. The situation is familiar. The people did evil in the eyes of God, and God sent the Amorites, or rather the Ammonites, to oppress them. The people cried out to the Lord, But he responded by stressing their continual rebellion and told them to cry out to the gods they had chosen. The point hit home, and the Israelites put away the foreign gods. They also met at Mizpah to discuss the situation. They decided to ask for help from Jephthah, because he was the son of a prostitute. Jephthah had been ostracized and had left home. He had also accumulated a large following of adventurers. It was this demonstrated leadership that attracted the Israelite leaders, and they agreed to make Jephthah their head so that he might deliver them. Jephthah is most noted for the promise he made to God before he went to war. If you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. He won the battle, but when he returned, the first thing that came out to meet him was his daughter, his only child. The usual translation of the vow implies that he then performed a human sacrifice. The word translated "and however" could also be rendered "or," and in this case it seems to indicate that Jephthah anticipates two possible outcomes. This interpretation is supported first by the response of the daughter, who asks for time to lament that she will not be able to marry, not that she is going to die. Second, the text never uses the words sacrifice or burnt offering in this section, but rather that he did to her as he had vowed. Third, human sacrifice was an abomination among pious Israelites. While it was sometimes practiced in the land, it took place always in the context of service to false gods. In this light, I would suggest that Hannah's dedication of Samuel to God is the model for what we see here. The extended narrative on Jephthah is followed by a short section that lists three more judges. Ibzan, Elon, and Abdon are cited as people who judged Israel for short periods of time. The significant point of these final three leaders is that each served in different regions. Moreover, we are not told that the whole nation of Israel enjoyed the periods of peace pointed out under the earlier judges. This overall pattern will come to a climax with the last major judge, Samson. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries, his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us as your children today. Help us to separate ourselves from permanently those who are evil and who worship false gods. And help us, Lord, to be faithful to you all of our lives, all of the days of our lives, so that we will not have to suffer loss from our enemy, the devil, and whoever he may use. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. So, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to get to know him today, all you have to do is believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and you will be saved. For the Bible says in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, please remember, the Word of God is the foundation to a successful life. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Covenant and the Cross, a survey of the Old and New Testaments. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using, The Promise and the Blessing, by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at covenantandcrosspodcast.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to The Covenant and the Cross on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.
To you, who for refuge to joy.